Yes, Roland thought. One last story to hear. One last trail to follow. The one that leads to Kan Ka-No-Re and the Dark Tower. Or it would be nice to think so. Nancy said, in the story, the Crimson King is using Ed Deepno to kill one single child, a boy named Patrick Danville. Just before the attack, while Patrick and his mother are waiting for a woman to make a speech, the boy draws a picture, one that shows you, Roland, and the Crimson King apparently imprisoned at the top of the Dark Tower. Roland started in his seat. The top? Imprisoned at the top?
Easy, Marion said. Take it easy, Roland. The Calvins have been analyzing King's work for years, every word and every reference, and everything they produce gets forwarded to the Good Mind Folkin in New Mexico. Although these two groups have never seen each other, it would be perfectly correct to say that they work together.
Not that they're always in agreement, Nancy said.
They sure aren't, Marion spoke in the exasperated tone of one who's had to referee more than her share of squabbles. But one thing that they are in agreement about is that King's references to the Dark Tower are almost always masked, and sometimes mean nothing at all.
Roland nodded. He speaks of it because his undermind is always thinking of it. But sometimes he lapses into gibberish.
Yes, Nancy said.
But obviously you don't think this entire book is a false trail, or you would not want to give it to me.
Indeed we do not, Nancy said, but that doesn't mean the Crimson King is necessarily imprisoned at the top of the tower, although I suppose it might.
Roland thought of his own belief that the Red King was locked out of the tower on a kind of balcony. Was it a genuine intuition, or just something he wanted to believe?
In any case, we think you should watch for this Patrick Danville, Marion said. The consensus is that he's a real person, but we haven't been able to find any trace of him here. Perhaps you may find him in Thunderclap.
Or beyond it, Moses put in.